Stay tuned for the Connected Kingdom Podcast, connecting truth with life in a digital world. Yeah. Here are your hosts, Tim Challies and David Murray.
Well, good day to you. You have managed to find an episode of the Connected Kingdom Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I am Tim, and the guy on the other mic is David. He's got the brains, but I've got the charm. And David, I'd love to know how your week has been so far.
The week's been good. I had a good day off today, went fishing, and looking forward to starting my work again tomorrow morning.
Monday's my day off, too, and I had a good one. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to getting to work again as well. So, last week I gave you an assignment. You were to speak on workaholism. Doesn't sound like either one of us was working too hard in the early part of this week, but I want you to talk about that subject because I know it's something that you've thought a lot about. So, workaholic, take it away.
My name's David, and I'm a recovering workaholic. And I say that with no sense of pride, even though workaholism is one of our society's most respected, even admirable sins. In fact, perhaps one of the places it is most admired is in the church, and especially in the Christian ministry. Few Christians put this sin in the same category as homosexuality or murder, yet workaholism has probably destroyed more souls, especially in Christian homes, and maybe especially in pastors' and missionaries' homes, than either of these sins. Many pastors spend their days denouncing this ism and that ism and every other ism while seeking and accepting plaudits for their workaholism. So, how do you know if you're a workaholic? Well, Workaholics Anonymous, yes, there is such an organisation, provides 20 questions. They include, do you get more excited about your work than about family or anything else? Do you take your work with you to bed, on weekends, on vacation? Do you believe that it's okay to work long hours if you love what you're doing? Do you get irritated when people ask you to stop doing your work in order to do something else? Have your long hours hurt your family or other relationships? Well, does that sound like someone you know? Your pastor, maybe? Or you? So, what's at the root of this? Well, I think idolatry is at the root of a lot of workaholism. Many make work their functional god, and it can be a very satisfying one too. It doesn't just take, it gives back too. It often rewards with money, position, power, prestige, and praise. Other workaholics are motivated by greed. The work may be unsatisfying, but the money sure promises to make up for it. For some, it's all about escaping less pleasant, less glamorous responsibilities. Far easier to be a frequent flyer than change diapers, to speak at conferences than speak to your teenage son, to chair board meetings than comfort your lonely wife. For some, work is a matter of identity. It's what defines them. Interestingly, in the 18th century, most obituaries focused on the character of the deceased and rarely mentioned occupation. 150 years later, most obituaries assess a person in connection with their occupation and achievements, which probably explains many early graves as well. Many workaholics are unable to trust God with their jobs and finances and end up relying on excessive hours rather than on their Heavenly Father. And like all isms, this addiction is a destroyer. It destroys marriages, relationships with children, friendships and usefulness in the church. It destroys happiness. It destroys bodies. And I know something about that. And it destroys souls. And yet, this destroyer is so deceptive, so plausible. I'm doing it for my family. I'm trying to get a kid through college. I'm serving God. And pastors, I know there are unending stories in Christian literature about how many hours famous ministers and missionaries worked. What many of the biographies don't tell you is that many of them died young or suffered long seasons of disease and burnout. So, is there a cure? Well, the cure begins with cold turkey. Take a full week off work. Yes, a full week. In order to examine yourself in the light of God's word, ask your family if they think you've got work in the right place. How is your relationship with God? Your devotional time? Listen to your body. Is it bearing up under the stresses, or is it beginning to break up as you wear out your machinery? Confess workaholism to God and he will forgive you. He forgives all addicts who repent and seek mercy in Christ. Trusting in the finished work of Christ will bring a new calm and peace and perspective into your life. Then, to prove that your repentance is genuine, plot a future containing these elements. First, take every Sunday off work. If you're a pastor, designate any other day and stick to it. 6 days you shall labour applies to pastors as well. Memorise Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2, and believe it. Third, set a reasonable number of working hours per week. And by the way, recent research shows a huge loss of productivity after 40 hours of work in a week. Fourthly, don't answer email or make work-related phone calls on vacation. Fifthly, schedule daily exercise and family time. Sixthly, remember your created limits. So much of workaholism is a defiance of the physical limitations that God our Creator has imposed upon us. Seventh, remember that the Lord has put a curse on work. Knowing that fallen man would seek ultimate satisfaction in his work rather than in him, God built in thorns and thistles and sweat to drive man from work to himself. Project yourself to your deathbed, lastly. A hospice nurse recently said that she's not yet cared for a man that did not regret how many hours he put into his work. As for the rest of us, let's not encourage workaholics by praising their addiction. Would you praise a drug addict or an alcoholic? Do them a favour. Call them to repentance. If it's a pastor, remind him that not only is he sinning against God by harming himself and his family, he's also providing a damaging role model for other men in the congregation.
Well, I think you've touched on something that's a particular sin in the Christian world, and we talk about respectable sins or sanctified sins, and I certainly think this could fit under that banner, that here's a sin that we at times celebrate. You know, we laud people who work those long hours, so I'm glad you identified that. And I was just this morning listening to the book of Exodus, or a piece of it, and just hearing it as I've been listening through it, just hearing how much God refers to the Sabbath. And so I'm glad you touched on that as well, that idea of Sabbath, restoring that to our lives. It seems so clear that God's established that for our good. The Sabbath was made for man.
So true, Tim. I've lost count of the number of men, especially, I think, it also afflicts women, but men especially, I've lost count of the number who have come to me, and it's especially pastors, with numerous problems, issues in their lives. And in almost every case, it's been caused by overwork. You know, well-motivated, well-intentioned, but just not respecting the God-given limitations upon our flesh. We're not disembodied angels. We're in this physical flesh. And the chickens come home to roost eventually.
They do, yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking about it just this morning, actually, just how each of the commandments is given, it says something about God, but each of the commandments says something about us as well, and says how it's good for us, why we need it. So, again, Sabbath was given as, you know, it was put there right in the fabric of the way God relates to his people for our good, and not only to praise God, that's obviously an important part of it, but for our good, for our restoration. And I don't think you need to be a strict Sabbatarian just to see the ongoing value in that. So,
and I think more and more are coming to see that, Tim. Even in the secular world, I've seen numerous articles recently in business publications about the whole idea of Sabbath being such an essential part of life.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Tim? I mean, you probably, a lot of people look at you, they look at your productivity, your output. Is this something you struggle with? And if so, how do you beat it back?
Yeah, I sure do struggle with it. And I try to take Sundays and make them very little media on those days at least. And then Mondays, I try and take off from work responsibility. So I try and take one day away from the internet world and then one day away from the real world, the rest of the world. So maybe someday I'll combine those two, but that just doesn't quite seem to be the way of it now. So, but it's certainly a challenge.
It definitely gives you, you know, that rest day and getting away. It gives you just a new perspective on your work. I mean, I floated down a river today for 8 hours with my son, and you know, you come back to Grand Rapids and work looks different. I went out this morning with so many things to do, and yet I thought, no, I've got to do this. And I've come back, and suddenly I don't seem to have as many things to do, and yet I've done nothing.
Yeah. No, and that's the way of it, isn't it? We need that time so badly. Our families need it. We need it physically. We need it emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every way. So thank you. Thank you for challenging us on workaholism. I know that's a temptation for me. Not that I get that much joy out of life. It's just I have trouble saying no to things. And so life fills up with things that aren't necessary. And as you said, oftentimes if you just take that time, you find you're able to do things more efficiently and better and just get those things done even with taking that day off. So thank you. Now, do you have an assignment for me for next week?
I do, Tim. I'm going to ask you to speak on a subject that I believe you've thought a lot about. You've some positives and negatives about it, and I think it'd be good to get you on record on conferences.
Conferences. Excellent.
Are you up for that?
I'm up for that, yeah. And I guess, speaking of conferences, we'll be heading off to Together for the Gospel in a couple of weeks.
We will be together.
All right.
Together for the Gospel.
Looking forward to it, David, so we'll connect again next week.
Thanks, and don't work too hard.
I'll try.
You've been listening to the Connected Kingdom Podcast with Tim Challies and David Murray.
Yeah.
You can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or join the discussion on our Connected Kingdom Facebook page.